The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, well, welcome. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host for The Beacon, and we are thrilled that you have tuned in today, whether you're listening to us on 960 The Patriot or you've tuned in one of the podcasts. We're so grateful to have you listening in, and I am super excited to have a treasured friend as our guest today in the studio. Please welcome with me Ryan Brace. Ryan, say hey.
Good morning, good morning.
And it's so cool to have you on the show, Ryan, and also in studio, my faithful sidekick from Phoenix Christian, our sponsor, Jeff Blake. Jeff, hey.
Good morning. Blessed to be here.
Yeah, man. Well, it's so cool. Ryan and I have a relationship off air. Before we started, we were talking about just how long ago it was that God allowed our paths to cross. And we're at that silver anniversary, man. 25 years. Can you believe it?
We are. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, just the way we initially met, Ryan was a student at Phoenix Christian. I was on campus there hanging out, and God just allowed us to enjoy a friendship that I really can't explain apart from his hand. You know, I think we just kind of hit it off, and he was a good golfer. I wasn't, but we had a chance to play some golf together. I got a chance to cheer for him, you know, on and off the course, and God just really allowed us to enjoy life over a long period of time together. Ryan, what do you remember about the old dude that randomly was in your life?
I remember the house on Marconi and the pool parties.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, getting to, you know, just a little like segue, like transferring from Northwest Community Christian to Phoenix Christian halfway through freshman year of high school, it's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And so I think I knew two people. I mean, Brandon Lewis at the time was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And then I think I had met Christina Berry. And so I didn't know anybody. And so having the opportunity to kind of have you take me under your wing, and just I was accepted for who I was, and you know, you're like, all right, let's do this, come along.
That's fun. Well, let's talk about today and where you're at, and introduce us to your amazing wife and your family, and tell us you know, how God keeps you busy day in and day out, what you're doing today.
All right, well, my wife Catrice and I have been married, so January it'll be 4 years. It's been an amazing blessing. There's a time in my life that I just wasn't sure I was ever going to get married. And my son...
I remember a time in your life where I wasn't sure you were ever going to get married. And now you're just like me. You married way over your head, and Jeff probably would concur.
Absolutely.
As well. Yeah.
But my wife is beautiful inside and out, and she loves Jesus. My son Jude is 2.5, and he's the cutest little beast you'll ever meet. He's a good big brother. He now has an 8-month-old little sister, Selah, and they will play together and they'll wrestle together. He'll punch her and then he'll kiss her. And it's such an amazing thing to see. Like, I'm responsible for these two little people. That's pretty scary. You know, the last 3 years, so November of 2016, I started grad school for my master's in professional counseling. Okay. And I at Grand Canyon University.
Lopes up.
That's right. And it's a big program. It was a 62-credit master's.
Wow.
And so there was a master's in substance abuse that was 36 credits. And I was like, well, I'm like, no, if I'm going to go back to school, I'm going to do the full thing, whole shebang, make sure I don't pigeonhole myself. And so I spent the last, you know, the classwork was 3 years. I was able to double up and knock about 14 months off the program. And then November of last year, I started my practicum, which is, I had to do 700 hours. I ended up doing it with Southwest Behavioral Health in their inpatient psych unit on 7th Avenue.
Right on.
That's been an experience.
Sure.
So 40 hours of work and 10 hours in traffic, and then 20 hours at Southwest Behavioral. It's been really busy, and it's finally coming to a culmination. A couple weeks ago, I walked to Grand Canyon. I passed my state licensure exam on Monday, and the 13th, so next Wednesday, is my last official day on my practicum.
Man, congratulations. That is an enormous accomplishment at any season of life. But for, you know, a dude that's 4 years into marriage with two little kids and carrying that load, you know, that says a lot about your commitment. It says a lot about, you know, God's unfolding plans for your life and his sustaining, you know, power in your life. And it says a lot about Catrice, actually, too.
Absolutely. When I joke, like, when I started grad school, I had zero kids. And like that's what happens. Like life happens, and 3 years later, I mean, your life looks completely different.
So, you know, I mentioned earlier you're a golfer. How's the golf game during that stretch of time?
So I was thinking the last time I played was July. So my dad and I go on a golf trip every July. There's like 30 of us. A lot of like Christian University coaches and a lot of pastors. There's like 30 of us that go to Southern California in July. And I play 6 or 7 times that week. And that's 50 to 60% of the golf that I play for the year.
That's awesome. But you enjoyed some pretty intense golf success in the high school years. What are those championship years? Did you?
Yeah, we had, I think, so I was at Phoenix Christian from 96 to 99. And I think we won state twice. And I think we were runners up once, maybe. And then I got the cool opportunity to be the assistant coach the next couple of years. And I believe we won state both of those years, too.
Nothing like a little dominance on the court. I mean, that's pretty, or on the course. That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, tell me a little bit about your relationship with Catrice, and let's talk about, you know, how God brought you guys together. And you know, I know there's more to unpack in your story that we'll get to through the show, but just how and when you guys met, and you know, how that brings you to today.
So in 2015, so January of 2015, I found myself at the Phoenix Dream Center, mm-hmm. in the program there called Church on the Street. And about 6 months in, I was given the opportunity to become the assistant director of the program. And so it was an office upstairs. I shared an office with, so I had the back office. The front office was the director of the women's program. So the director of the women's program's name was Catrice, and she was very pretty. And I walked by her every day, and I'd bring her snacks, and I'd leave her little notes just encouraging her. Just throughout the day, and it really only took about 2 weeks of talking and interacting when we're like, there's something here. And you know, it was kind of like a whirlwind. We got to spend some really quality time together because we shared an office, and it was all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 months later, we were married.
That's amazing. That's so cool. And now Jude and Selah, what's your favorite thing to do with your kiddos?
My son never sits still. So I think that my favorite thing to do is when he'll actually climb up on the couch and sit next to me. Usually like either with my phone in his hand or a tablet, and just watch one of his cartoons, one of his movies. And it seems like he doesn't even know that I'm there.
Yeah.
But he's snuggled in with me, and there's not much better than that.
You know, it's awesome to see you as a parent, and I've had the good fortune, the privilege of knowing your parents, and over the years getting to watch them, you know, as they were walking your journey with you and alongside. And talk for a minute about your parents and how you view them, and how that lens has changed a little bit now that you're a dad.
Thinking about my parents, it's incredible. Like, God gave me two of the most amazing parents that someone could have.
Yeah.
They've been married, man, 44 years, 45 years.
Wow.
And it's just, there's no one I respect more than my dad.
Yeah.
He's a quiet man. But when he talks, you listen. Mm-hmm. My mom is the most loving person I've ever come across. You know, thank God she was a stay-at-home mom, and like she'd cook me breakfast in the morning, and she'd pack my lunch. And my dad, he had the flexibility and worked at home as a financial advisor, went to every baseball game, every soccer game, every golf match. Like, I can't imagine a better, more loving childhood. Yeah. And now that I'm a parent, and I think back to what I put them through. I was thinking yesterday, I'm like, well, what if Jude did that? And it stopped me in my tracks, and it brought tears to my eyes. Like, I don't know if I'd be able to handle it. Mm-hmm. And they handled it flawlessly.
Yeah. And, you know, for our listeners, we'll unpack as the show unfolds kind of what Ryan's alluding to and what he put them through and what they experienced. But again, shout out to your folks, because they are among the most steadfast, faithful, and unconditional loving, you know, parents out there. They're a model that a couple like Teresa and I, without them even knowing, and maybe they'll listen to this and hear it firsthand, had a profound impact on us. And when it comes to commitment and leaning on the Lord, when not only when times are smooth and it makes sense, but when they're really bad and we feel like the Lord is distant, His presence and His sovereignty is still in place, and they demonstrated with their actions toward you and toward circumstances that they'd made a decision, you know, to trust Him and to love you in and through and around all of it. And gosh, Ryan, so you have siblings too, right?
I do. I have one sister. She's 4 years older. She's been married, gosh, 22 years.
How about that?
And her oldest, Matthias, is a freshman at Grand Canyon right now. And then she has, my niece is 16, and my nephew is 13. And
they live in another state, right?
They do. They live in St. Louis.
St. Louis, okay.
Yeah, they're. But my sister, like, just like my parents, couldn't ask for a better one. She wasn't around for a whole lot of what happened, mm-hmm. but she was still always there. Anytime I needed to talk to her, like, I knew she was always there. It was tough having her be at the time. I mean, she was in Columbus, Ohio, for about 10 years. Mm. But she's my absolute favorite person in the world, besides Catrice.
Well, for our listeners, again, our guest, if you're just tuning in, is Ryan Brace, a longtime and treasured friend of mine. We also have in studio Jeff Blake. You know, we've talked about Ryan and his workplace and his family, and man, it's an amazing, God-blessed story that I think all of us would look at and go, wow, what a perfect picture. He just finished his master's. He's in a career that's meaningful and useful and encouraging other people with counseling, you know, masters now, and that's amazing. It is an incredible package. But come back in this next segment and listen to us as we uncover and reveal, and Ryan talks about really what a train wreck a number of those years leading up to this point were. I think it'll blow your mind when you hear just how far and hard somebody can run, maybe away from the grace of the Lord, and still not outpace it. Thanks again for tuning into The Beacon. We're thrilled that you're listening today. We hope that you're encouraged by what you're about to hear. And we welcome you back in this next segment coming up.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Hey, welcome back to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. This is a show where we talk a lot about how God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable. And He does that for His glory. He does it for the sake of His kingdom and for the good of those involved. Today, if you just happen to be joining us now, we have in studio my faithful sidekick. I think I referred to him in the first segment, Jeff Blake from Phoenix Christian, our sponsor. Jeff, thank you for being here.
It's so cool to be here this morning.
And as our special guest today, a treasured friendship of mine, Ryan Brace. Ryan, thanks for being in studio, man.
Thanks for having me.
I contacted Ryan. We've known each other, as we mentioned, for 25 years. We've been through a lot of thick and a lot of thin, and he is a man that I love and that I'm proud of and whose friendship I treasure. And I said, hey, how would you feel about sharing your story, and really God's story, as it unfolded and continues to unfold for you on The Beacon? And Ryan's response was, you know, I told God if He made an opportunity, I wouldn't say no. And so you, like me, I think we have in common that We're not, as odd as it may seem for a guy with a radio show to say, we're not seeking out the opportunity to be up front or to speak publicly, but we're willing to be obedient if God puts it out there. So Ryan, you know, we celebrate where you're at today, and we celebrate God's faithfulness, His grace, you know, His sustaining power in your life and His redemptive work. But man, there's a backdrop to that. And, you know, when we first met, you were in that Christian loving home with, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, firmly a part of who you were in your life. And somehow from there, you end up in a place that I don't think you could have even imagined.
Never.
Talk to us maybe both about that that first step that you didn't see as a first step in the wrong direction at the time that led to such a faraway place, and then ultimately where you ended up. Like, can you reflect back on, man, there was this point in my life where I reached out for this?
Yeah, I think, so going back to 99, graduating from Phoenix Christian, and knowing since my sophomore year that I was going to go to Point Loma mm-hmm. and play golf,
mm-hmm.
and I was on a partial academic and partial golf scholarship, life was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's when I look at life then, I mean, it's just as great as it is now. Yeah. But yeah, there were those middle years. And so it was in 2001, you know, I had been in a relationship for 4 years. I mean, I thought this was the girl that I was going to marry. And then it didn't work out that way. And it seems so petty now mm-hmm. to just like look at that and say, how could you let that be a mitigating circumstance and where you let your life go? But what happened is, you know, I had narcotic painkiller medication for my migraines. And then when her and I broke up, you know, I really struggled with the depression. And I said, you know, I have something that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I mean, I was off and running. And I explained it as binge using for the first few years. You know, if I had the painkillers, I took them. But I was definitely doctor shopping and going to urgent cares. And then in 2005, I hurt my back. And that sent me to the pain management doctor.
Mm.
And with someone that's already struggling with an opiate addiction, sending them to the pain management doctor where they're getting a consistent prescription every 28 days. I mean, I was getting 120 painkillers mm. plus the 120 like extended release morphines plus the somas every 28 days. And I didn't have a chance.
Mm.
And I don't blame the doctors at all. I mean, this was a choice I made. But it just, once I had that prescription, that leads you to a completely different place of dealing with people on the streets because you run out of your pain medication. And so,
because it's paced out, it's given to you for this period of time, and it doesn't last that long.
That month would last 7 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you borrow from people, and then when you get your prescription, you pay them back plus whatever the interest they wanted on it. And it's just it's a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the midst of that, I picked up a pretty intense gambling addiction. Mm-hmm. I remember winning a whole bunch of money and then within a year filing for bankruptcy. That was 2007.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I had no purpose. I had no goals. I had nothing to kind of like be grounded in. I was like, this is my life. This is what I'm going to do. It's tough to think that I just kind of gave up, but that's where I was. I kind of resigned to the fact that, all right, this is going to be my life. And it was just kind of jobs here, jobs there, nothing consistent. Working in the golf industry, working in hotels, working in restaurants. And then it kind of caught up to me. And so in 2007, you know, I went to rehab for the first time. It was a 28-day rehab, and it seemed like an eternity. You know, my parents paid out of pocket. It was called Calvary mm-hmm. on 7th Street. And I stayed 28 days, and I ended up staying clean for a year. Mm-hmm. But that was really just white-knuckling it. I didn't want to waste my parents' money. And then again, just after a year, led myself back to urgent cares, convincing myself that my back hurt. And then again, I mean, after a few weeks of using, always go back to the pain management doctor because that's the big script right there.
Mm.
So that was 2007, 2008. I got a really good job at ING Mutual Funds. Not sure quite how I got that job, but it didn't last long. I mean, I was consistently getting high every day. And then I had to pass my Series 7 exam, and I didn't, and so they had to let me go. Then it was right around this time that, you know, I think it was the beginning of 2009, and, you know, I got a call from Jessica, and she's like, you know, Brandon's gone. And I'm like, what do you mean Brandon's gone? She's like, he just didn't wake up. And, you know, Brandon was one of the main reasons that I transferred to Phoenix Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, come over here, play some golf. At the time, Northwest didn't have a golf team. And he was still in eighth grade, but he'd come out and practice with us. And we'd known each other since we were like 10, 11, playing Little League baseball together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, we hadn't talked in a while. You know, it had been a while since we talked. He was doing his thing. I wasn't really keeping in communication with anybody. But that, I mean, he was my brother. Like, yeah. I've never been closer to a guy than, for some reason, I mean, God just put something on my heart for that guy. And we couldn't have been more opposites. but I loved him. And so going to that funeral was, I was telling Steve on the break, like, surprisingly, I remember a lot about that day because I shouldn't. I mean, I was on multiple different medications, and I just remember crying incessantly, and I couldn't get over it. And I remember on the way to his mom's house for kind of the gathering, I had a little competition with the Barricades on Grand Avenue, and they won.
Well, let's do this. We'll pick up the story in the next segment from there. The Barricades flying over the vehicle as you pass through them. Unfortunately, I've had a similar experience, maybe not for the same reason, but because I'm a distracted driver. Come on back to our next segment with Ryan Brace. Thanks for tuning in.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. In studio with us today, Ryan Brace. And Ryan, we're just so thankful for you being here. We're thankful that you're willing to kind of talk openly about your life, your addiction to opiates and what that led to. And, you know, it's not a small thing in our culture today. There are many, many people and many, many families who are touched by those whose lives have been impacted. And in the course of your story, where we left it off in the last segment, you and I are sitting next to each other at a memorial service for a young man whose life ends way too short. And, you know, as you mentioned, I remember sitting next to you that day knowing, okay, Ryan's a little bit off, but man, this is a big loss, and he's processing it, and he's really emotional, and people are asking me, hey, is Ryan okay? And I'm like, no, he's not okay. I mean, this is a really bad thing that's happened in his life, but not really knowing the cocktail of drugs that you had in your system that day, just knowing that you were kind of not the Ryan that was, you know, perfectly centered. Give me a little more on that. Pick it up from there. Where did you, now you lose one of your closest friends to, you know, what probably is a toll that was taken on his life from maybe some bad choices and what he put in his body. And now you've got another opportunity to make a directional decision. Where do you go from there? Is that enough? Does that wake you up? Is it like, oh man, that's it. I can't do that.
Thanks for bringing that up, because that's exactly where my mind goes. It's like, okay, you just lost one of your best friends for very similar reasons to how you're living your life right now. And so you have that decision. You're like, okay, is that enough? Am I going to stop? But that's not how addiction works.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. I mean, by this point, I'm not only like physically addicted. I mean, I'm mentally addicted. It's emotionally addicting. I mean, it consumes you. It consumes every minute of your life.
If being rational was enough to help people break addiction, there wouldn't be addiction.
Correct.
Because, you know, it's my understanding that just the power and the draw of being compelled by something that is owning you is far greater than your intellectual ability to combat it.
It's hard to explain that to somebody that hasn't been through it.
Yeah.
But you hit it right on the head. I mean, it's completely irrational, and you do things that you would never expect to do in your life.
Yeah.
So I did not make the correct choice after Brandon passed away. And actually a few months after that, I had another best friend, another good friend pass away. So for the next, you know, so 2009, 10, 11, let's go from 9 to 11. It got really tough and it was just the same stuff in and out. No clean time. I mean, it was just buying and selling until the culmination of like, okay, again, like I have to do something. My life's going to end. This is not the life I want. So I ended up in 2011 at the Phoenix Rescue Mission, July of 2011.
Yeah.
And it was not the Phoenix Rescue Mission of today. It was a rough place in 2011. They hadn't done all the expanding in the building. And so I get there and I'm sleeping in a warehouse with like 50 other guys and it smelled amazing. when I asked where the restroom was, they pointed out to a J-John outside.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I'm withdrawing.
Yeah.
And it's July.
Wow.
So that was a very tough time for me. And actually, you know, a few months into the program, I'm sitting in the little library and who walks in but Jeff Blake. And he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I'm like, I don't know the thoughts that were running through his mind, but obviously my pride kicks in.
Sure.
I'm like, man, I hope he thinks I work here. But it's always nice to see a familiar face when you're in that point of your life.
Yeah.
So 6 months after I left there, that's when I really got involved with Bethany Bible Church. Yeah. And I was helping out with the college ministry and things were great. And, you know, I got into a pretty codependent relationship that really brought me down. No fault of her own. I mean, it was me getting into it and really, I think, just transferring my addiction to a person. And I based my life and my feelings on how she was reacting to me and how our relationship was going. And that led to another huge relapse.
Mm.
So 2014 was, you know, evicted, truck repossessed, and then in August I was arrested, looking at 6 felonies, and I was guilty for way more than 6, but that's all. They didn't even bring the drug charges against me.
Mm.
And so I went to court September 12th, the day after my birthday, just to find out that they decided not to file any charges. So I had gone through the horseshoe at 4th Avenue. I mean, I was looking at if they wanted to, you know, prison for about 5 years. And so I'm thinking best case scenario, I'm getting probation, only to see God's grace and mercy come through once again.
Man, we'll pick it up from there. Ryan Brace, Facing the Law, the Long Arm of the Law. Come back for the final segment of Redemption and Restoration.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. We're traveling through a story of a treasured friend of mine, Ryan Brace, today, and you know, Ryan, as we started the show, gave us a snapshot of his life today, and it is, man, amazing. A wife, 2 little kids, you know, godly husband, father, just really, really finishing up a master's and a good career and doing great. But, you know, his story, like many, included a period of time where, you know, there was a path you wouldn't wish on anybody, you wouldn't choose for anybody. Most people don't intentionally choose for themselves. And we left off in our last segment, Ryan, with your there you are in 2014, man, your car's been repossessed. You've been evicted from where you're living. You're facing 6 felony counts. I mean, just how bad does it have to get, dude?
Well, unfortunately, that wasn't bad enough.
Oh man, where do we go?
So 2014, I'm, you know, withdrawing every couple days.
Yeah.
I haven't had a steady job in a few years. And so the money's hit and miss. A lot of times I'm just stealing.
Yeah.
And my poor parents, like I cleaned them out one year, and I wasn't allowed to go back home for a good year. Just a very steady, good boundary that they set.
Yeah.
So in September, you know, I show up to court. The charges are dropped. It's the day after my birthday. My parents are with me at court. We get out of court. My mom's like, "Happy birthday." And I just started crying.
Yeah.
And at the time I was at the Phoenix Rescue Mission. I had gone back for a couple months, really just because I thought it would look better for the court to see that I was trying to do something. And then I end up getting kicked out of there for using, which pretty incredible. You just have this gift given to you, this grace shown to you.
Yeah.
And
addiction
doesn't care.
Yeah.
And so I was kicked out of the Phoenix Rescue Mission, and it happened to be the day of my pain management appointment. So I called that I never canceled, that I was supposed to cancel. And so I caught a cab and I went there and I picked up my 120, 15 milligram oxys.
Unbelievable.
And I went through
crazy
40 of them in the next like 18 hours.
Wow.
And then I called my dad and I was like, all right, we need to do something. And I'm just throwing up profusely, super sick.
Yeah.
Obviously taking way too much medication. And so my dad's like, okay, we'll pay for you to go through Crossroads. And at the time it was a 21-day program, but then you could stay for like intensive outpatient. And, you know, I stayed there for 4 months and things were really good. And then I got a job downtown at Stand Up Live. And, you know, if you're a drug addict, you find who has the drugs. And this is when my addiction switched from painkillers to heroin. It was cheaper. It was easier to get. And
similar result.
Oh yeah. I mean, same drug, just the painkillers or the prescription painkillers or you know what's in them and they're clean, but the heroin's cheaper. It was easier to get. And thankfully that only lasted a few months. And I ended up going back to the Phoenix Rescue Mission and they're like, yeah, we've got nothing for you here.
Did you have like a parking space with your name on it or anything at Phoenix Rescue Mission? Just about. Huh?
I'd pull up and like, all right, he's hurting.
Yeah.
We've tried this before. So it was actually a guy named Gabe at the Phoenix Rescue Mission who said, you know, why don't you try church on the street at the Dream Center? And I didn't really know much about it, but I went. You know, their mission is on 40th Avenue in Van Buren. And again, it's a warehouse with a bunch of guys. And at this point, it was January. I was on a top bunk and there's bed bugs and I have had water dripping on me.
Oh, man.
And so I'm like, what, at this point, I'm 34 years old.
Yeah.
I'm like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Like, this can't go on. And so I'm only there for a few days. And then I get into the program inside the Dream Center. So that was January of 2015. And I was done, or at least I thought so.
Yeah.
You know, there was a slip up for a couple months in 2016, which actually led me back to Crossroads, which... Without that slip up, it's just so cool to see the God use those mistakes like that. So that ended up getting me the position that I got at Crossroads and ended up working there for 2 years, maybe a little more than 2 years. You know, it was taking a $10 an hour job just because I thought it would help keep me clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to the position that I'm in now, which is actually with my first grad school professor. You know, in my job at Crossroads, I interacted with him in his position at Mercy Care.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, I'm going to have a position open. I'm going to have to apply, but I think you'd be great for it. And so that was a year ago. So I've been at Mercy Care now for a year. And it was just, it's so cool to see. I used Mercy Care for 10 years of my life.
Right.
I mean, they helped me get through rehab so many times. And now I work in the General Mental Health and Substance Use Department at Mercy Care.
All right. So here you are with these varied and desperate experiences all revolving around addiction. And what I'm hearing you say is that God has now positioned you to be face-to-face with people who are, in many cases, going through some of the same things?
Yeah. So more specifically at work, I monitor all the residential substance use facilities. and the MAT, the medically assisted treatment facilities, like the methadone and the Suboxone. And so that's what I do every day. Wow. And I get to help members get connected to the treatment they need.
Well, Ryan, you know, your story is phenomenal. So so now at Mercy Care, that's your role and responsibility. How has God redeemed, restored, allowed all of that those years that you would refer to as wasted for, you know, on a number of different levels?
I think how is a hard question.
Okay.
I think why is because everything is for His glory.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would have completely missed the point of life if I would have just become a successful golfer. I would have missed it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have even known that I missed it. But He had a plan for me before I was ever created. Not to get into like doctrine and theology, but I'm chosen.
Yeah.
Like it's not about me. It's not something that I did to be chosen.
Right.
So He created me with a plan, and I needed to go through something to be able to fulfill that plan that He had for me. There's no way I could do what I'm doing now if I didn't go through it. It would be impossible.
Ryan, I'm gonna read a verse that you posted in social media recently had a day of reflection, or God put this verse on your heart, and then I'm gonna let you respond to it. It comes from Joel 2:25-26 out of the Old Testament. I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Talk about that truth in your life and how it makes you reflect on the people in your life and the time.
Yeah, that was a verse that my mom was consistent with throughout my addiction. She goes, you know, this isn't it. This isn't the end. It seems like, I mean, at least from a worldly perspective, that there was a lot of wasted years. Now we see them as more of a training ground. Mm. But not only did He restore them, I mean, it's better than I ever imagined. I mean, now I have a wife and two kids and a great job, and He allowed me to go back to school and mm-hmm. complete that to kind of combine the life experience with the education to be able to help more people.
Sort of immeasurably more than you could have asked for or imagined.
Exactly.
Is the truth there. What if somebody's listening today and they're seeing a member of their family in your story, they're seeing a sense that maybe they're a parent. What would you say to a parent? What would you say to somebody who's on the brink of struggling with an addiction? Leave us with a couple of thoughts for that potential listener.
You know, I think for the parents, the hard part is that there's really nothing you can do to save them. And most of the attempts that you do just keep them in that cycle. It's the boundary between enabling and helping. Anything that you do that keeps them in their addiction longer, even if it's a day, is enabling. So just know that they don't want to be doing it either. Mm. They want to get out, but they're stuck and they don't know how to do it, and just love them and be alongside them.
Yeah.
For the person struggling, the help's out there. I feel like because I went through what I went through, I mean, people reach out to me pretty consistently, and I'll do anything that I can to mm-hmm. to get someone connected to the treatment they need or the services they need. But I think it's, you get stuck and you get isolated, and just know you're not alone, and the help's out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ryan, again, I can't thank you enough, first of all, for your friendship, for putting up with me over so many years, and just for your unconditional love in our friendship. And I also want to thank you for your authenticity, for your willingness to be transparent. I know for you it's a matter of obedience that the Lord's put on your heart if there's a chance to tell the story. And God's going to get glory. Somebody's going to be encouraged or receive some endurance they might need to go through a similar struggle that you're all in. And I appreciate that. So thank you again for being with us. Yeah. On the show today, and it's just a pleasure to know you and to celebrate the way God continues to work in and through and around your life. And Jeff, you know, you and your role have known a lot of young adults students first, many of them when you met, and lives that have been lived out. You've seen some of this stuff firsthand early on and later in life. Do two things for me, if you would. Respond a little bit to what you've heard and what you've seen in Ryan, and then also give us just a brief update as the sponsor of the Beacon as to what God's doing at Phoenix Christian and some of the cool stuff that's going on there in our last few minutes.
You got it, Steve. I thank you for that. And Steve and Ryan, I'm blessed for the sacred space that's been provided here this morning to share intimately. And Ryan, to respond to you, fundamentally, I'm sitting here as a parent. As my children are beginning to enter the teen years, and you've spoke to me as a parent with wisdom, although I've been in education for 25 years plus, you've spoke to me and you've taught me this morning. And I'm reminded again that man is fearfully and wonderfully made, and you spoke with wisdom and conviction, and I've been your student this morning, and I want to thank you for that, and I want to thank Steve for your leadership in that. Again, to affirm this relationship that Steve shares with Ryan, that one of the beautiful gifts that God gives us in Christian community is one another, mm-hmm. and stories that are not finished, and stories of redemption. And what I've been blessed by this morning and inspired again, once again, for the nature of Phoenix Christian and what we're about is God's redemptive nature of every dimension of who we are, not just our souls, but the redemption of our lives and our relationships and families and education and all of it. He's in the redeeming business, including our soul and so much more beyond our soul. And again, this morning reminded of the beauty of story and narrative. And we just celebrated last Friday night. We celebrated well over 1,000 folks coming to Phoenix Christian. And I watched some of the class members of 1952 all the way back. Join us in our quad. And here I'm sitting with an alum of the class of 1999. And God's unfolding pursuit of us, using all things to grab the attention of our heart. And Ryan, I'm inspired once again. Chosen is a powerful word, regardless of ourselves. And so, listen, if the listener is inspired this morning and wants to be a part of the unfolding ministry of Phoenix Christian and join us, we're in the midst of, we've just begun a campaign. It's called the OAW, and it stands for One a Week. And if you would like to invest in Phoenix Christian and help build these incredible foundations, please visit our website, phoenixchristian.org. Click on the button that says support, and please join us as we lay a foundation of faith and redemption in the lives of students.
Well, thank you, Jeff, and thank you again, listeners, for tuning in to this episode of The Beacon. If you or somebody you know is struggling with an addiction, there is hope, there is help, and we hope that this has been an encouragement to you, and we hope that you'll seek that help and that you'll find it in large part through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to The Beacon. We'll catch you in the next episode.